Why are we teaching on this? So that we can receive more of a manifestation of these gifts in our life. That's what Paul calls this, right? The manifestation of the Spirit. And we like that word in our charismatic circles, don't we? The manifestation. And it's an important word. Because how many of you know you can have promises that like say, by His stripes you were healed? But it sure is nice to have your healing manifested time and time again, doesn't it? It doesn't do you any good if you don't get the manifestation of it. Likewise, it is that way with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit with us and in us, but boy, we need the manifestation of Him among us. So that's why we're teaching on this. And I started this series off giving you three vital keys to seeing more of a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you missed any of those, you can go to our website at highpointmacon.com and listen to them or order the CDs out there in the foyer area. That's very important to understand. But then a couple of weeks ago, we began talking about these specific gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we started out saying that there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit as Paul describes them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And these 9 gifts can be broken down into 3 groups of 3. 3 groups of 3. And so what we've covered thus far is the vocal gifts, prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. We've spent more time talking about those 3 gifts because Paul spent more time talking about those gifts. They're the ones that are in our control that we can operate in as much as we desire to. Amen? The vocal gifts. So you've got the vocal gifts, tongues, different kinds of tongues, prophecy, and interpretation of tongues. These 3 gifts say something. But then we've got the revelation gifts, which we'll talk about today. This is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. These 3 gifts know something. And then next week we're going to talk about the power gifts, which is special faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. And these 3 gifts do something. So we need these gifts so that we can have God speaking through us, saying something. We need the revelation gifts so that we can know something. And we need the power gifts so that we can do something. Amen? How many of you know we need the Holy Ghost help in our life? It is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Most churches out there are using a bunch of worldly, carnal methods to draw crowds. You know, they want to paint the stage a certain color. They want to have the music a certain way. And they're advertising in all these different ways. That's not what Jesus did to get a crowd. Now, I believe there are physical things that we can do that will help things. I understand that. But that's not to be our priority. Our priority is, let's just do this. Let's catch on fire and they'll come watch us burn, I can promise you. Amen? So let's get a little bit of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and then people will want what we got, amen? People are looking for the real, genuine article. Not just people that talk about things. Like Minton said earlier, thank God we're a church that has great teaching here. We are taught well, but it's not just to be taught so that we can have our ears tickled. It's to be taught so we can not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word, that we're experiencing these things in our life. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit, amen? So today, as promised, we're going to talk about the revelation gifts. Amen, the revelation gifts. And these are important, and I'm going to share some really important things. But let me quickly review some of the stuff that we talked about with the vocal gifts. We talked about prophecy, and we found out that prophecy, because one can prophesy, does not make them a prophet. There is a difference between somebody having a doma gift, the Greek word for office, a ministry. So this person can have a gift to be a prophet, but that's different than every believer having the ability to prophesy. And we found out to prophesy is, the definition for prophecy, is it is a supernatural utterance in a known language. In other words, it's just simply God speaking through us, whether it be in us when we write, when we sing, when we preach, or when we get one-on-one with somebody. The Lord is speaking through us, amen? And there's good news for you today. You don't have to be super spiritual to have God speak through you like that. Did you know that? Did you know God gave us actually the example in the Bible of speaking through a donkey? Now, how many of you know that that donkey was not spiritual, probably didn't spend an hour in prayer that day? Nothing was happening there. It was about as carnal as it gets. Right? But God spoke through the donkey. So guess what? He can sure speak through a beep like me. Amen. Praise God. Because it doesn't matter how holy I am. It doesn't matter how spiritual I am. It just matters how available I am. God is not looking for the able. He's looking for the available. And if I just avail myself to be on hand, ready for the Lord to use me because I'm pressing into these things, then He enables me because I made myself available. Do you see that? So the prophecy is very important. We talked about tongues last week, though, and we found out that there are different kinds of tongues. The different kinds of tongues can be broken down into three categories, three classifications of tongues. We have tongues that are a sign, which is what? That's when the Lord gives us the ability to speak in another human language for the purpose of an unbeliever that would hear us and God speaking directly to this person. God's still doing this today, just like He did in Acts chapter 2. We also have tongues as a ministry, which is what? The person that is specifically gifted by the Lord to speak out in an assembly like this, to have a message in tongues come forth, but that message is always accompanied by the interpretation of tongues, which I didn't spend a lot of time talking about last week. But the interpretation of tongues is not a word-for-word translation of tongues. Do you see what I'm saying there? In other words, that's why sometimes you'll see an interpretation come of tongues that might be significantly shorter than the message in tongues or vice versa. Why? Because it's like when I would speak in India, a lot of times I've preached many times with an interpreter. And I come to find out something. You learn certain things in different languages. Like, for example, I would try to give them the opportunity to interpret for me and I wouldn't finish my sentence. And I found out in a lot of the Indian languages that you actually have to speak the whole sentence because they do it in reverse order. Amen? So my point is this, is that a lot of times the interpretation, it's not a word-for-word translation all the time. Sometimes it's just simply communicating the thought that was behind the message. Amen? And that's why a lot of times you'll get prophecies and interpretation of tongues that is 10%, thus saith the Lord, and 90%, thus saith the dude. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever seen that before? Somebody goes up, thus saith the Lord, and then they'll start saying something, and it was the Lord. You knew it was, but then they keep going, and they're rambling a little bit, and then there's kind of a, I don't know about that. See, it's easy for us when the water's flowing through us to some of it to be us, some of it to be God. That's why we're to judge prophecies, judge these interpretation of tongues, so we can find out exactly what is the Lord and what's not. Amen? We need to understand that, and you need to know that a lot of times the Lord's going to do that with you. He wants to speak through you. So we've got to identify who these people are that have the ministry gift of tongues and the ministry gift of interpretation of tongues. But there's also interpretation of your tongues that you pray in your own time. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, pray that you might interpret. In other words, press in and say, Lord, I'm praying in tongues a lot lately. I need to know what I'm saying. And you know how He'll give you the interpretation? A lot of times it's just a thought or an impression. Like, it could be that you're praying in tongues, and then all of a sudden somebody comes to your mind you hadn't thought about in a decade. A lot of times pay attention to that, because a lot of times it's the Holy Ghost praying for that person, or you're actually supposed to call that person, minister to them, because the Lord knows what they're going through. I've heard awesome testimonies about that. The interpretation might also be that you just have a thought or an impression to do something when you're praying in the Spirit. And this is why I made the point that I believe tongues is the gateway gift, because the more I pray in an unknown tongue, the more I'm praying out those mysteries, building myself up, and positioning myself to hear better from the Lord. That the Lord will speak to me and through me during those times. And I've proven this out in my life, and many other people will say this more. The more I pray in an unknown tongue, the more the rest of the gifts accompany them. Amen. And we'll talk about some of those other gifts today, which are the revelation gifts. So let's get over into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read these verses again. Starting in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 12. He says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. So we're talking about the revelation gifts this morning. And I'm going to start with the discerning of spirits. How many of you have ever heard somebody else in one of our charismaniac churches come to you and say, "Pastor, brother, sister, I got the gift of discernment"? You ever heard that before? People claiming to have the gift of discernment. There is no such thing as the gift of discernment. Every believer sure has the ability to have supernatural discernment through the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. But that is not a gift of the Spirit. Help me with the terminology here. What does he say here it is? It's the discernment of spirits. See, a lot of times when these people say that I've got the gift of discernment, really all they have is a knack for fault finding and criticism. You know what I'm saying? These people that have these so-called prophetic gifts of discernment and these things, they are very enabled to see negative things in other people. How many of you know it doesn't take somebody spiritual to find the negatives? You may help you know if you've really are operating in the discernment of the Holy Spirit. If somehow, some way, at some point, you're also seeing positive things in people. You're seeing the good in them and the good gifts. But if you're only seeing the negative all the time, it's probably not the Holy Ghost. That was worth the price of admission right there. Amen. We need to understand that, right? No, this is called the discerning of spirits. Amen. Now, let me give you exactly what this definition is. This is the definition I've written out for discerning of spirits. It is the supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice, supernatural. Those are always key with every one of these gifts because people have tried to water these things down and make them very natural. We'll talk about some of those things probably today. It's the supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to have insight into the spirit realm and distinguish between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Because why? It's the discerning of what? Spirits. It's spirits that we're seeing into. All right? Now, the word discerning here comes from a Greek word which literally means this. It means to distinguish, to differentiate, or pass judgment. To distinguish, differentiate, or pass judgment. It is the ability to be able to correctly judge something behind the curtain of the spiritual realm. In other words, it's a supernatural endowment by the Holy Spirit to be able to see beyond this natural physical world we live in and actually know what's happening spiritually behind the scenes. How many of you know we need this gift? And you need to understand something. This freaks out a lot of people when you talk like this. But if the Lord were to open all of our eyes right now to what everything that's going on in the spiritual realm right in just this little area, guess what you're going to see? Angels in abundance and demons on every corner. You'll see some of the most mighty and majestic angels are actually in this room with us right now. And you'll also see some of the ugliest, vilest demons. And you might say, how could you have demons in this place? Because you brought them with you today. Amen. You know, you understand that a lot of times, and I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, that some of the things that we deal with that we call mental, psychological, physical, sickness, disease, and things like that are not always psychological or physical. Jesus, a lot of times, dealing with people who had a physical problem, cast out of them a spirit of infirmity. So can you see why it's so important that we operate in this gift? I personally believe one of the reasons we don't see the results that we want to see in delivering people and seeing people healed is because we're not always correctly discerning what the problem is. We're trying to, somebody comes up that maybe is blind, and we're trying to speak to their eyes and command them to be healed, but it might be spiritually influenced, and you got to cast something out of them. Let me give you a powerful statement. You cannot crucify demons, and you cannot cast out the flesh. You have to cast out demons and crucify the flesh. And you see what's happening a lot of times? We're trying to put it under. That's my flesh. That's my flesh. Sometimes it's demonic. Now, I'm not saying every believer has a demon or anything like that, and we certainly don't need to get on a witch hunt trying to find the demonic behind everything. I'm saying, though, we need to be pushing into this gift right here so that our eyes can be open, so that we can become more effective in how we minister to people. Amen? And I know there has been some squirrely stuff that has gone on in the body of Christ, particularly back in, I think, in the late 70s, early 80s. There was a big movement in the body of Christ on deliverance. And they had everybody barfing into bags and doing all kinds of stuff. But listen, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's a reality that there are demonic things that we need to be dealing with. But again, not just seeing the negative. We need to be seeing the positive too. Amen? It's like I'm thinking of 2 Kings chapter 6 right now. Do you remember the story of Elisha? And he's on the mountain with his servant. And they get surrounded by the king's army. And what happens? He says, "Fear not, lad, for there be more with us than be with them." And I'm sure the servant thought the old prophet had fallen off his rocker there. Because he looks and he said, "More would be with us. One, two, and we got thousands out here." Doesn't make sense. But see, the prophet saw something the servant did not see. You see what I'm saying right there? And you don't have to see them to believe it, though. How many of you know it says over in Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear them? So simply because God said it, I can know that no matter what situation happens in my life, no matter who's coming against me, I got angels surrounding me. Because I respect and honor the Lord, therefore His angels are surrounding me all the time. But this servant needed his eyes open. So what did the prophet do? He said, "Lord, open his eyes that he can see." And then he saw the chariots surrounding them, the armies of the Lord. Amen. He gave him, in the Old Testament there, discerning of spirits that were going on around him. Amen. So we need this gift so that we can operate in more of an effectiveness to help minister to people. But this is another point that I wanted to make, is that, because, well, let me say this real quick. Let me say this. You got a lot of people, when you start talking about seeing demons, they get freaked out about this. And some people say, "I'll pass on this gift, Pastor. I don't really necessarily want to see the demonic realm around me." But that's because we've got an incorrect mindset about it. If you know who you are, you know whose name you got, and you know the authority you have, then you don't got to be afraid of all this stuff. See, we're about to celebrate Halloween right now, right? And what do the people do in the world during this time? They try to instill fear in you. All the movies that are on TV are fear-based. The movies that are put out there in the theaters are fear-based. And the devil's trying to build himself up to look all big and bad and make you afraid of everything. A believer shouldn't be afraid. My father in the faith, Andrew Womack, had an awesome experience like this one time. He said he was staying in this person's house, and I mean, he was staying in this room, and the furniture would move around. You know, like exorcist stuff, you know what I'm saying? And these kind of things were going on, and he got scared. When he saw that this was going on, he ran out of the house and was running down the street, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm getting out of there. These are some big demons. This is out of my league. I can't deal with all this." And the Lord said, "Go back there. I want to show you something." He goes back, and the Lord shows him this is what's going on. The furniture's moving, and all these things are shaking around, and what he had built up is, you got these big burly demons ready to just pounce on him and eat his lunch and pop the bag. But the Lord opened his eyes and gave him discernment of spirits, and you know what he saw? Curled over in the corner of this room was this little ape-looking demon, and he was going, "Eh, eh, eh," and he was causing this manifestation of stuff going on around him as a fear tactic, when he was the one that was really afraid. And that's the truth. Demons are afraid of me and you. We're not to be afraid of them. Amen. And I know people don't like to have this kind of ministry because it's a messy ministry. When you're having to work on casting a demon out of somebody or something like that. But listen, it's so rewarding. To me, I've cast out demons before. And there is not much more rewarding, aside from getting somebody born again, legitimately saved and born again, that is more rewarding than seeing somebody who was bound up by a demon and they've been set free and the light comes back in their eyes. That's awesome. Amen? We need this gift to operate in this. But we also need this gift so that we can also discern between the spirits that are behind things. Behind incorrect teaching or something like that. Sometimes you can just pick up on it. You can just stand next to people. You can get around things and you pick up on other spirits that are going on right then. And why do you pick up on these things? So you can deal with them. Amen? So you can get them out of there, praise God. Amen? So this is gift of discerning of spirits. This is another definition that I wrote. This gift of the discerning of spirits is the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit to differentiate between spirits. It is also the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit to be able to distinguish a spiritual presence behind a situation, action, or message. Amen. Meaning we can perceive the presence of good and evil spirits behind a peculiar circumstance. Amen. This is what we need. So let me say this too. The discerning of spirits is also the supernatural gift given at any particular moment that enables one to discern the presence of any spirit and to differentiate between what type of spirit is behind the affliction or the message. Go over to Acts 16 and let me show you one example we have of the Bible of this, and then we'll move on. Y'all will be familiar with this one. Do you remember when Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi? You remember that? Well, do you remember why they got imprisoned? They're going around preaching the gospel. And as we see here in Acts 16, beginning in verse 16, it says, "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling." Now let me go off on a rabbit trail right here. You need to be careful what you dabble in. Because when it comes to fortune-telling type stuff, palm reading, reading into crystal balls, something even as bad as playing with Ouija boards to something seemingly as innocent as dabbling in horoscopes. There are demonic spirits attached to those things, and you need to be careful. I've come to find out that a lot of people that deal with a lot of demonic activity in their life and they can't get free from them, usually if you go back, they played around in some of that stuff. It opens the door because you're tapping into the spiritual realm where those demons like to glom onto you. So you got to be careful because it was associated with this girl. Now look at this. Verse 17, "This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God.'" So she was saying something that was true. They're proclaiming to us the ways of salvation. How many of you know that was exactly true what she was saying? And this is where this gift comes in. Because I guarantee you what happened here was Paul did not pick up on the fact that this was a wrong spirit because what it was saying was true. But that doesn't mean it's not demonic. Right? Because notice what happens next. "And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.'" So somehow, some way, the discernment of spirits started operating in Paul to where he knew that this girl that was following him around was saying something. Even though it was true, she was being motivated by something else. Amen? So that's a good example we have of discernment spirit. So we need this gift so that we can know, even through the deception that is embalming our society, to be able to know what's true and what's a lie. Amen? Now let's move on to the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. I'm going to combine these two because in my experience, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom operate together a lot. Not all the time, but sometimes they work together. Like, for example, you'll get a word of knowledge, and then the word of wisdom comes in to show you the solution to the thing you know. But again, people like to water these gifts down and say, I've got the gift of knowledge. I have the gift of wisdom because I went to seminary for 20 years and earned 32 degrees. You can have 32 degrees and still be frozen. You know that, right? And I have the gift of knowledge and gift of wisdom. No, again, these are supernatural gifts. These are not things that you get through much living and much studying. And notice that's not even how he calls them. They're not called the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom. They're called what? The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Amen. Like, for example, the word knowledge here, it comes from the Greek word gnosis, spelled G-N-O-S-I-S. And this word literally means, listen, a complete or thorough understanding of a subject. So when we're talking about this knowledge and this wisdom here, we're talking about what God knows. The wisdom God alone possesses. How many of you know God is omniscient? You know what that means? He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. That means he is all-powerful, he is everywhere, and he's all-knowing. Omniscient, all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows how to fix your car. He knows how to run a service. He knows how to cook that dish you brought today. He knows all of it. So if I get a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, what am I getting? I'm getting part of that knowledge. A word of that wisdom, amen. Let me give you a good example of this. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, this is a good one. Paul prayed a prayer here for the church. And in verse 19, at the end of this prayer, he says something that's quite confusing if you pay attention to what you're reading. He prays for them that they would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Have you ever thought about that when you read that? You're like, how can you know something if it passes knowledge? Well, that's where it becomes very important to be able to how to understand the original language, because there's two different words here. The word know that's used there describes knowing something by experience. And the word knowledge is the same word I just gave you, gnosis, which describes a complete and thorough understanding of something. So what Paul was praying right here for him was, I pray that you'll come to experience a little bit of the knowledge that will pass you ever being able to completely understand it. In other words, I'm never going to be able to completely know how much God loves me. It's going to take all eternity for this grace to be revealed to us. You understand that? But I can experience a little bit of it here and a little bit more next week, and I can keep gaining on it. Amen? And that's the difference there. That's what we're seeing, is that this is me having a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom will be me getting a little bit of the knowledge of God and a little bit of the wisdom of God. Amen? How many of you know God knows everything and he's got all the answers to everything? That's why this gift right here becomes extremely important in our life. Amen? You know, the word that's used for word there, when he says the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, comes from the Greek word logos. And for all you Greek scholars out there, let me educate you. It is not logos. It's not. There's actually two O's in the Greek language. You've got omicron and omega. And this is not omega. This is omicron. And it's pronounced kind of like an A. So it's logos. You understand? A logos is this. If you look this word up, it literally describes a transmission of a thought, a word of explanation, an utterance, a discourse, a divine revelation, a divine promise, a divine doctrine, or a divine declaration. And when you hear this word logos, what's one of the first things you think about? What is the logos? Well, we think of Jesus, because Jesus is the mighty logos, but we also think of the Word of God. How many of you know this book right here, the logos, is simply a transmission of everything God knows, But it's not everything God knows. Right? I'll give you a good example. Did you know if you study the book of Genesis, which is 50 chapters, do you know how much of human history is located in those 50 chapters? Over 2,400 years. Now, it could be a lot more than that because there could be a big gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 and then how all creation occurred. But I'm just specifically talking about from the time Adam to the time of Joseph there at the end. When you add up those years, it's at least 2,400 years. That's a lot of human history. So do you understand how frivolous it is for us to sit there and try to figure out who Cain's wife was? How many of you know if this is 2,400 years, God might have left a little bit out in 50 chapters? Right? Why? Because it's the Logos. It is simply a transmission, a word from the knowledge of God, a word from the wisdom of God. In other words, God's given us enough to live by. That's why I don't get into all this stuff with people. You got a lot of people that are much smarter than me out there that like to get into a lot of different things of figuring out all the back behind the story type stuff and figuring out things that God never saw fit to reveal to us in the first place. He only gave us what we need. And I think we got a full-time job trying to figure out everything that he did say to us. Let's get the word of that knowledge. Let's get the word of that wisdom, amen. But that's a great explanation of how to understand what a word of knowledge is or what a word of wisdom is. God's not going to give you a book on every situation. And what I mean by that is, he's not going to give you a long discourse. Sometimes he'll just give you a statement. Amen? And I'll give you an example. It'd be like you being in the marketplace, and you're standing in line to purchase something, and somebody's in front of you, and you're just fixing your eyes on them, and you kind of realize something's going on with them. You're perceiving something. You're discerning something through the Holy Spirit. And then the word comes up in you, divorce. You get this word. And it takes boldness then to step out. Because if you're getting this and regarding this certain person, because we're learning these things, we need to step out, right? And say, you know, I'm a Christian, and I just believe that the Lord is showing me some things. Are you having trouble with your spouse right now? Is there something going on? Are you possibly going through a divorce right now? See, there's a nice, gentle way to bring the subject up. You see what I'm saying? And then the person starts to break down and cry. Only God could have known. He gave you a word from his knowledge of what's going on in this person's life because it's for the profit of all. Do you see that? Which is where the word of wisdom comes in. Because a word of wisdom then is a transmission of a little bit of God's wisdom supernaturally for the situation. So in that situation, then the word of wisdom comes alongside of it. You've had the word of knowledge that the person might be going through a divorce, and then you come and say, and I believe that the Lord is saying this to me to tell you, is that the battle is not his. I mean, it's not yours. It's his. And you've been trying to hold your marriage together and fight in the arm of the flesh. You've been trying to do things in yourself. And the Lord says, you got to take your hands off the wheel because he's the one that really wants to drive your marriage in the right direction. Now, let me help you to understand what just happened right there. I was operating in this example I'm giving you in word of knowledge and word of wisdom. But even in this message today, with the example I just gave you, I'm operating in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Do you see that? So my point is this, is that we need this gift operating in our life. And I'll tell you, this has been the thing that's happened with me. Is I have operated in these gifts probably more than any of the rest of them, aside from prophecy and tongues. And this is a great way in seeking the Lord more for these gifts, because there was a point in my life where I was seeking and desiring the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I was seeing the need of the things I'm teaching you today, the need that we need to be desiring and coveting earnestly these gifts. And I was pressing into him, and I would say, Lord, you told me to covet earnestly the best gifts, but I don't know what the best gifts are. And so I invited the Holy Spirit to show me what are the best gifts for me to walk in. Wisdom there. Because a lot of times us, in our desire to help people, we're just going to start picking and choosing and cherry picking which gifts we want to operate in. The Bible says the Holy Spirit distributes them to each one as He wills. This is a really good time for you to pray and say, not my will, your will be done, Lord. What is the best gift for me to operate in? And when I did that, I kept getting word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I had a peace about that. It seemed good for me to press into those. So I start seeking them. I start pressing into that and saying, Lord, I'm wanting it. I am not leaving. I am not leaving until I get word of knowledge, word of wisdom operating in my life. And guess what happens? I'm working at a Christian bookstore. I hadn't been saved but a couple of 3 years. I'm working at a Christian bookstore. I go to work this one day, and I go over to the Bible section, which was right, you had the door right over here, and then you had all the other stuff. I was in the Bible section, and I was rearranging, and I heard the bell ring that somebody had just walked in, but for whatever reason, I didn't look over and greet them. So I had no idea who these people were. I'm sitting there organizing the Bibles, and all of a sudden, it was almost like a vision, but I know it was the word of knowledge. I have a word of knowledge that was almost like I could see what I'm knowing's happening. And I see these two boys, teenage boys, back in the tape section. Now, see, I'm dating myself now. This wasn't when CDs, this was cassette tapes. Back in the tape section, I saw them, I knew they were back there stuffing cassettes into their jacket and stealing them. And I said, ooh, that's interesting. So guess what I did? I snuck up on them. I snuck up and went back there, and sure enough, I walked right up seeing them doing the exact same thing I saw them doing in the spirit. And guess what I did? They ran out. And guess what happened? I'm rejoicing. Word of knowledge operating in my life. Hallelujah. And here's the caveat to it. I go to my church on that Wednesday night where my pastor was teaching, currently on the gifts of the Spirit. And guess what the subject of the message was that night? Word of knowledge. And he said, do anybody have a testimony here? Yes, sir. Got one for you today. Amen. These are what we need to be pressing into. Desiring to get these things. Another good example is word of wisdom. This is one that I'll tell you, I'll just be honest with you, since this is Pastor's Appreciation Day. You know, we've been here over five years now and this and that. And you know what? There was a big insecurity I had in me in coming and taking this position. And you know what it was? I had no insecurity of standing doing what I'm doing right now. I'd been preaching long enough, I knew that the Lord would give, how He would operate through me and this and that. What I was a little bit insecure about was the personal counseling part. I'm like, God, I haven't been through a lot what a lot of people have been through, so I don't have the personal life experiences. God, I've only been a Christian for, you know, I'm still a teenager. You understand that? In the spirit, being born again. Amen. You need to go by your spiritual birthday. Don't go by your physical birthday. It makes you a lot younger. Hallelujah. But this is what I found, that when I would get one-on-one with somebody or in a group, the wisdom came. Word of wisdom would come. And I was supernaturally endowed with the answers that were needed in that situation that didn't necessarily have to come for being on this planet for 60 years. Why? Because it's a word of wisdom. It's supernatural. Say supernatural. It's supernatural. Well, I'm working at the same Christian bookstore at one point. I remember when this one thing happened. We had this guy that would come in there, and he was a real smart, intellectual guy, and he was reading a bunch of books at this particular time of how the Bible contradicted itself. And he's a Christian trying to seek God reading this stuff. Don't read that junk. I'll just tell you. It'll just confuse you. Just focus on the genuine article and forget the counterfeit. Okay? And he's reading all this stuff, and he's coming to me, and he's giving me all these scriptural examples about how the Bible contradicts itself and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm green as can be. I didn't have any understanding. I hadn't been to seminary yet. I hadn't done anything like that. And I'm like, God, what do I tell him? And the Lord gave me word of wisdom. He said, take him over to 2 Timothy 3:16. I said, okay, let's go read 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Amen? I said, let me ask you a question. Do you believe this verse? And he said, yeah, I believe that. I said, so you believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? And I said, and this is the word of wisdom. I said, so you need to have more faith in this verse than in your own intellectual capability to understand the rest of the verses. Wisdom of God. Amen? How many of you know Jesus operated in this? Right? Should we, you remember when they came to him and said, should we pay taxes to Caesar? You know, and they tried to butter him up. You remember that? And said, Master, we know you teach the truth and you're all good. And, you know, flattery. Watch that. The flattery had come on, and then they said, should we pay taxes to Caesar? Jesus goes, let me see a coin. Whose face is on that? Caesar? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Wisdom of God, amen. How about John chapter 8, when you had the woman caught in the midst of adultery? And they had him. I guarantee you they thought they had the ace in the hole. We've got Jesus here, because no matter what he says, he's busted. The law says, stoner, what do you say? And what did he do? He stooped down and started writing in the sand. Everybody tries to get in all into what he was writing. That's not the point. I wrote in my Bible this, waiting on direction. You know, you don't have to answer people when they think you have to answer them. Sometimes we just need to zip it, wait for the wisdom and knowledge of God to come to us. So he gets the awesome answer. And what did he say? He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. So he didn't even give them the A and B answer. He gave them wisdom that there's nothing they could say anything against. The wisdom of God. I believe these are examples of word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Amen. Word of knowledge is a great example. You remember the woman caught at the woman by the well. And Jesus said, hey, go get your husband. I don't believe he knew yet. Go get your husband. And she goes, sir, I don't have a husband. He said, a word of knowledge comes. You've said right that you don't have a husband, for you've had five, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Word of knowledge. And what did she say? Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. I reckon so. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, there was another instance. You remember when, what was his name? Nathaniel, who had no guile. You remember this guy? That his brother brought him before Jesus. And this guy was a little skeptical of who this guy was. And this came to him. He said, Nathaniel, when you were under the fig tree, I knew you. And the guy responds to this with this awesome statement. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. One statement in one meeting, and he's going to say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God? Can you imagine why? Because I guarantee you, earlier that day, or maybe a week or whatever, he's sitting under a fig tree, talking with God, just him and God alone. And he probably said something to the effect of, Lord, when are you going to send the Christ to us? When are you going to send him? I pray, Jehovah, that you would send the Messiah to us. Under this fig tree, nobody else hearing him. So when Jesus, all Jesus had to say was, I saw you under the fig tree. You're the man. Do you see how these gifts operating in our life confirm the presence of God, the awareness of God in our life, that he knows where we're at, he knows what we're going through, and he's got the answers, and he wants to get through us the answers to these people so that they'll know God loves them and that God cares about them and that God's got the answers to get them out of this situation. But it's between you and me to press into this stuff so that we can have these gifts operating in our lives so that God's speaking through us. God is making his knowledge known to them. His wisdom and his knowledge. He's made it available to us. But people will say, eye has not seen nor ear heard. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That's for the unrighteous. We're not the unrighteous anymore. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And God wants to make known to you his knowledge, his wisdom, and his thoughts. How many of you could stand some more of God's thoughts in your life? Oh, glory be to God. Amen. Amen, amen. I got a lot of other examples, but we need to eat. Praise God. I don't want to hold y'all up anymore. Y'all might not appreciate me if we go any longer. The whole point is this. I can't all the time tell when it's a word of knowledge, when it's prophecy, when it's a word of wisdom or discerning of spirits. Sometimes they run together and it's not always the easiest thing to tell. But listen, I don't need to necessarily know what they are. Brother Kenneth Hagin, I'll end with this, had this statement one time. And he said this. He said, you know, when I was a boy, he lived on a farm. He said, you know, when I was a boy, I used to wonder how a brown cow ate green grass, produced white milk that when churned make yellow butter. He said, but the whole time I'm trying to figure out how this works, I'm eating the biscuits and I'm drinking the milk. Hallelujah. God just wants us to be partaking of the biscuits and the milk. Amen. Not necessarily being able to find out how they came. Let's stand on our feet now. Glory to God. Woo! I am happy about this one because I believe many of you are. This happened to me just the other day. I said I was going to end with this. I lied. I will repent later. But this is, listen to this. This is how the word of knowledge works. Friday, Shannon was out of town doing something. And I have Levi in the car with me. And we were going over to do something good for somebody. And she had had a problem with her car. The front hubcap, the front left wheel and the hubcap had somehow gotten misaligned. And if you started going slow, it would be like, it sounded like a helicopter. And I don't know nothing about cars to fix those things. And I was thinking I'm going to have to go buy new rims for this car and everything like that. And I'm taking Levi over to do this thing. And then this thought comes up in me. Just a thought. Not necessarily, it doesn't seem supernatural. This comes up in me. Call Vineville Tires, which is right over where we were going. Call them up and ask them. Call them and ask them if they know what you might need to do to fix this or whatever. I didn't really have all those words. I just knew to call Vineville Tires. I called the guy up, and he said, well, I'll have to look at it. I said, well, I'll be over there in a minute. Can you come out and look at it? Would you mind doing that? He said, sure. He comes out. He comes and looks at it, and he says, well, you're probably going to need to go to this store and get this thing fixed and all this kind of stuff. And I said, okay. I'm pulling out, and one of the mechanics comes out of the garage and hears the thing going on with the tire. And I saw him looking, and so I just kind of stopped. And he just came over and said, oh, I think this thing's going on. He's just, current, current, current. It's fixed. Supernaturally. And I'm like, you know what thrilled me the most? I was thrilled I didn't have to waste $100 to $150 buying some new rims and doing all that. But what made it more thrilling to me was I had a word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge, listen now, because we're always looking for the spiritual stuff. The word of knowledge was Vineville Tires. They ought to give me some residual on this one, praise God, amen. I'm giving them business right now. But you see what I'm saying? The Lord knows where you're at. He knows what word to give you at the right time in the right season so you can be in the right place at the right time and save money, save time, because the Holy Ghost was helping you all the time. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Can you say that with me? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's good to us. Amen. We need to be in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah.